Chapter 28, 1 Samuel 28, this morning, and then, God willing, two more lessons, and we'll most likely be through with our study of 1 Samuel, which we started about 10 months ago. We've just been blazing right through it. No, we've been taking it carefully, taking a careful look through it, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, to try not to miss anything that God has for us here. 1 Samuel 28, very, very serious business from here on out. We'll begin in verse number 6. 1 Samuel 28, verse number 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself, and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. Verse 15, And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee, and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand, and given it to thy neighbor, even to David, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Let's pray one more time. Again, Lord, we pray that you will open our eyes to these things in the spiritual realm. Help us, Lord, to beware of these things, these spirits that aim to deceive us. to draw us away from you, to make us stop looking into your holy scriptures and not trust them. Help us, Lord, to recognize, to be able to learn how to recognize the ways of the devil and his ministers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We live in a day when people are very, very confused. They take seriously what's not serious, and they make light of what is deadly serious. People yell and holler and watch ball games and check the sports page as though it makes any difference in the world as to who won a ball game. It doesn't make any difference in this world. People, they watch that stock market and watch those numbers go up and down as though it was going to make any difference in the long run. And it doesn't. And people play around with devils and unclean spirits on the Saturday morning cartoons and mess around with satanic games and computer programs and mess around with Ouija boards and crystal balls and seances and tarot cards and all that stuff. And they say, it's just kind of a fun thing, you know. You're crazy. It's deathly serious. Just as sure as there is a God, there is a Satan. Just as sure as there's a heaven, there's a hell. Just as sure as there are holy angels, there are fallen angels. Just as sure as there is a Holy Spirit, there is an unclean spirit. And just as surely as there is right, there is wrong. And to the extent to which you make light of and disregard the operation of Satan and his ministers in this world is the extent to which you are susceptible to their power. You've opened yourself up to what they want to do to you. So it's not a joke. Look in your Bible. Keep your place here. We'll be back, but we need to lay some groundwork here. Turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. If you think this business of psychics and mediums and you think it's a thing of the past, you're fooling yourself. There are entire communities, in fact, that are dedicated to spiritualism and trances and psychics and talking to the dead. The headquarters for all of North America for this very business that Saul is fooling around with here in 1 Samuel 28 is in Volusia County, Florida. They call the place Casadega. Now, and they'll tell you that the word is a Seneca Indian word that means water under the rocks, but most people know that casa means house, and Dega, well, in the Bible, Dagon was a false god of the Philistines in Judges 16:23, and the Bible says in Psalm 106, verses 37 and 38, that when people were sacrificing their children to idols, they were sacrificing them to devils. So Casadega really means house of the devil. It's a place where men and women travel from all around the world to commune with familiar spirits, with unclean spirits. Dangerous thing. Bible says here in Isaiah chapter 8, verse number 19, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Why would you go to the dead to find out about life? Why would you go to a spirit in hell or somebody buried in a graveyard to find out about living? Why don't you seek Almighty God, who is alive on the throne? Why don't you seek Jesus Christ, who arose from the dead? Why are you fooling around with the dead and not the living? Why do people go into those occult shops and buy those books? Why do people go over there to Casadega and mess with all that spiritism stuff? Why do people go out, get out their Ouija board and play with that thing? Because they don't have any light. Why don't they have any light? Because they rejected God's word. And once you reject the word, you are doomed to grope in darkness. And that was Saul's problem. And it got darker and darker and darker. And you say, well, Brother Bob, why are you preaching a message like this for, you know, in a church like ours where we carry the Bible, we believe the Bible, and we hear God's word and believe it? Well, because Saul, he didn't start out in fellowship with that witch. He started out disregarding what he heard preached from the word of God. His next step was disobeying what he heard preached from the word of God. And God shut out his lights, and he ended up messing around with Satan. So you don't start out fooling with the devil. You start out hearing God's word and disobeying it, or disregarding it and then disobeying it. Okay, now let's look in Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. What does God think about this? I don't know if very many of you are familiar with this, but I found out just because I grew up with this stuff doesn't mean that you have, if you're not an American. But I grew up in a time when this old 1939 movie was very, very popular with the kids. It was called The Wizard of Oz. Very popular. I remember in our family, we used to wait for it to come on TV every year, and we'd get the popcorn and make a party out of it. It was a big event for us as kids. But in that movie, a girl named Dorothy from Kansas, she gets caught up, her house gets taken up in a tornado and carried to a strange land. And her house comes down and falls on top of a witch and kills the witch, in a community of little people called the Munchkins. Well, after that, this big shiny bubble comes down out of the sky, and all the Munchkins fall to their knees in worship. Dorothy and the Munchkins, they stare in wonder as Glinda, the beautiful witch, steps out of the bubble and asks Dorothy, "Are you a good witch or a bad witch?" Well, beloved, they're all bad. There is no good witch. There's no such thing. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse number 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, there's your horoscope, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. That's someone who pretends they're talking to the dead. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. So let me start by giving you just a little quick American history here. I hope it'll help you out. Never mind the modern day propaganda that they teach in the schools and that the liberals seem to have swallowed up whole. God Almighty sent a group of people over to the West. He sent a race of people to the American continent. People who believed his word, people who believed this Bible. And he sent them to drive off the land a group of people that were worshiping spirits and dead ancestors and familiar spirits. And God drove them out of the land because of their idolatry and because of their witchcraft. It had nothing to do with white imperialism. It had nothing to do with colonialism. It had to do with the judgment of God upon the native population of the American continent for their false religion. Now, if America keeps messing around with the horoscope in the paper every day and the Gene Dixon garbage and the occult books and the psychics on all the radio and TV stations, if America keeps messing around like that, well, God will send somebody to America to take the land from the current occupants, just like he did before. You just mark it down. That's the way God deals with nations. He lets them go so far. He gives them the warning. He lets them go a little farther. He gives them a warning. They go farther still, and he quits warning them, and man, he just lowers the boom. He sends the judgment. And that's where America is headed. I'll let you judge your own nation. All right, let's go to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus 20. You may as well get it here. You're not going to get this most anywhere else these days. Leviticus chapter 20. If you don't study all the Bible, you're going to miss some things you need to get along the way. Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 27. 27, the last verse. A man also, or a woman that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. That's capital punishment for the crime of bringing your nation into contact with Satanism. Now, I didn't write the Bible. I'm just telling you what it says. People look at me like, I can't believe you said that, Brother Bob. Well, I didn't say it. God said it. And you know why God said it? So that your sons, your daughters, your children, your grandchildren, so that they would not have to suffer his judgments here or, and hereafter. And that's why he said it. Because he loves you. God is love. You know, if someone that you love, think about this, if someone you love goes into the hospital to get treatment for cancer, well, they're not doing anything cruel. Those doctors, they're not doing anything cruel when they remove a cancerous growth from your family member to save their life. They're doing something very, very kind. And you're not unkind for removing a cancerous growth from society. You do it to preserve society. Nothing wicked about it. That's gracious. That's merciful. And that's what God demands. Acts chapter number 16 in the New Testament, book of Acts, the fifth book in the New Testament. Acts chapter 16. There is a distinction drawn in your Bible. There's a difference shown between one who is possessed by an unclean spirit and one who merely consults with an unclean spirit. You say, well, I'm saved. I've got the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Well, yeah, that's true. But, you know, let's not argue about whether or not you're possessed this morning. Are you in consultation with the evil? The way I understand it, old Jack Kevorkian, the one they call Dr. Death, he assists people in dying. Well, he hadn't personally killed anybody himself, from what I understand, but he has consulted. He's given the consultation, and that consultation has led to their death, if you know what I mean. Acts chapter 16, verse number 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. You say, what's behind all this modern resurgence of occultism? Why is it becoming so popular again? Money. There's a lot of money in it. Verse 17. The same, this damsel, possessed damsel, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. You say, well, Brother Bob, these people, they speak well of God. These people say they believe in Jesus. And these people say they don't have anything against the Bible. Well, of course they don't. How else are you going to succor the Christians? Okay, how else are you going to get an inroad into their churches if you say you hate the Bible and you hate the Lord? Hey, how else are you going to gain access into their homes? See, the devil doesn't run around in a red leotard with a pointy tail and a pitchfork breathing fire. He says just what you would expect a Christian to say. He tells you just enough Bible to make you think he's on your side. He makes himself look good and look safe and kind and helpful so that you'll give him an opportunity to destroy you. That's the way he works. I mean, if they said, tune in Saturday morning, kids, we're going to show you unclean spirits casting magic spells and performing sorcery, you'd never watch something like that. But you would watch a cute little Smurf. And it's the very same thing. Where'd those little blue guys get those powers to work the wonders that they do? They didn't get them from God. They didn't do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help somebody to get born again. Well, what did they do? They began to condition your children to cute little cartoons, to accept the supernatural that was not godly. The devil, he's not going to come on that TV and say, hey kids, do you want to go to hell? Ha ha ha! No, he's going to come and say, hey kids, do you want to come down here and get in fellowship with hell? It's just a little thing. Satan, he'll get a captive audience by introducing a friendly witch named Samantha. And she's a housewife, she's a mother. And when she wiggles her cute little nose, magic happens. And you say, well, that's such a cute little thing. What a wholesome program. There's never any cussing. There's never any killing. No immorality. Yeah, but do you know why you like it so much? You're bewitched. There's nothing cute about that. Nothing funny about that. But I'm trying to show you. Do you see how they indoctrinate people? They had a very nice-looking woman in a very nice middle-class American home who just happened to be a witch. And they prepared that to break down your prejudice against witches. And it worked. The devil, he's smarter than any 10 Christians you'll ever meet. Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse number 3, 2 Corinthians 11, 3. The devil will never meet you head on. 2 Corinthians 11, 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. See, he didn't threaten, he beguiled. He said, look what I've got to offer you, the secrets of the unknown. Have you ever wondered about psychic phenomena? Have you ever been curious about supernatural things? Have you ever wondered what those people see when they have those experiences when they're dead and then they've been brought back to life? Have you ever sought to inquire into the unknown? Order this book today. It's very beguiling, isn't it? Gets your interest. It's very subtle, very intriguing. Now listen, I hope none of you read a horoscope. But if you do, you ought to be spanked. 16 billion people on the face of the earth. And there's only 365 days in a year. So here's 40 million people. They all pick this thing up and it says, you will have a rather bad day today. Not everything will go your way. This is not a good day to make investments. Oh, okay, that's for me. Really? For you? There's 40 million people all reading the same thing. And you're going to say, duh, that's for me. That's sad. Educated people, they get up in the morning and they won't make a move until they see that what the soothsayer says in the newspaper. It's incredible. Let's go on in verse number 3. So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached. You say, well, they talk about Jesus. Is he the Jesus of the Bible? The virgin born, sinless, crucified, risen, ascended, coming again, King of kings and Lord of lords. Is it that Jesus? And if not, he's satanic. Or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received. When you got saved, you received God's Holy Spirit. You know, these fellas, they tell you you've got to speak in tongues to receive the Spirit. They're satanic. They're trying to get you in league with another spirit. Or another gospel. which ye have not accepted. Well, there's the fine little boys in their white shirts with another testament of Jesus Christ. There they are right there. Ye might well bear with him. Okay? He's worried they might put up with these people. All right? Look at verse 13. Verse number 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into a big, ugly boogeyman. No. No, that's not what the Bible says. It says Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now see, this is what the devil made sure that you were taught from your youth up. If she wears a black dress and a black pointed hat and has a long pointy nose with a wart on it and a black cat, she's a witch. No, she might be wearing a beautiful white gown and sparkling jewelry and have a Bible under her arm. Amen. You're expecting the man with the long black robe and the crescent moons and the stars and the comets on it and the big pointy hat stirring a boiling pot and making potions. No. He wears a gray robe with red trimmings and preaches in a crystal palace with a Bible in front of him. See, listen, Satan, he's deceitful. He looks like a minister who's living a righteous life talking about the light. You say, well, how can we tell what's good from what's evil? Well, we read it already. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. You can't tell by their clothes. You can't tell by the tone of their voice. You can't tell by the size of their bank account. You've got to tell by what they say. Does it match the Bible? If it doesn't match the scripture, it is not of God, no matter what it is. So that tells me another thing. You've got to know this book. You've got to know it. Satan, he's subtle. He's cunning. He has apostles. He has ministers. They are light. They're righteous. You cannot detect anything wrong in their appearance or their speech. You've got to listen to what they say. There was a woman, she wrote a preacher one time to politely protest his book on this very subject. And she says in her letter, "Preacher, you know, when you're home at night and you've had a hard day and you're so lonely and you turn on that religious channel and that man smiles at you across that TV, it doesn't matter what he says. It just makes you feel so good." And you know what? That is the testimony of hundreds of thousands of people all around this world. He made me feel good. He made me feel good. I mean, what man pulls up to the schoolyard and opens the car door and says, "Hey kid, come here, come over here. You want some onions? Come here, come on over here. I got some liver and some cow's brains." Are you kidding me? No. What does he say? He says, "Hey little boy, you want some candy?" That's the devil. That's how he works. Deuteronomy chapter 13. You say, well, brother, I went one time and I got my palm read, and you know what? That thing came to pass. What that guy said, it came to pass. Yeah? Well, think about this. Have you considered this? There are about 20 billion fallen angels. They're not just sitting around. They are actively influencing the affairs of this life, your life. They can work some things out for you. They can make some things come to pass to convince you. They can get one of those fallen spirits to tell you this is going to happen, and then they can get another one to rig something up to bring it to pass. What better way to sucker you in? You say, what about those familiar spirits? You know, I went to this seance one time. We all sat around the table there, and it got real dark, and all of a sudden the woman running the seance there, she started telling me about my grandpa. And man, she knew all about him, things no one could possibly know. Well, friends, haven't you read your Bible about that spiritual warfare? About us wrestling against principalities and powers? Don't you know if you're living for God, if you're standing for God, there is an unclean spirit, at least one, following you every day of your life, watching every move you make? Don't you know that after you die, that those very spirits that have followed you around, don't you know they'll know plenty about you, and they'll be able to report what they know to your loved ones that you left behind? Are there spirits floating around this room right now, and they'd like to kill me before I can finish this message today? And if I drop dead and you went down to a soothsayer tomorrow to find out about me, they could tell you plenty about me. They've been watching. Ever since I got saved, they've been watching me. They know where I went. They know what I did. They know what I like to eat. They know all kinds of things that they can use to convince you that it's possible to talk to me after I'm dead. You get around that room, that medium gets in there, and that spirit comes in and speaks in the ear of that witch, and she repeats it. And woo, look at there really is something to this stuff, you know. Yeah, there really is something to it. It's a snare. Satan gets you on his hook, and then he just starts reeling you in. It's real simple how that stuff works. There's no mystery to it. There are intelligent beings in this universe, and they're after you, out to deceive you. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse number 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder. You say, man, this church I went to, there was a man there who was working miracles down there. All right, fine. Let's see what it says about that. Verse 2. And the sign or the wonder come to pass. Okay, that means it's possible that it could come to pass. What you saw could have been something he actually did. Whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God. Now, what did he say there in those verses? A man may prophesy. A man may tell the future. A man may read your fortune. And that thing just may come to pass. It may come true. You say, well, why would God let that happen? To find out how serious you are about following the truth of his word. Amen. You may not run into these kinds of people very often, but I'll tell you what, if you do, that's a memory that'll stick with you. Maybe you've had dealings with someone who told you that some things were going to happen in your life, and those things did happen. So what does that mean? It means Satan has all kinds of people out there that he can use to work situations out and circumstances out. You say, well, why does God let that happen? To prove you, to find out if you're going to follow his word or some kind of supernatural experience. That's why God lets that stuff go on. You see, contrary to popular opinion, though God desires that everyone be saved, he's not going to force the issue. He won't force you to be saved. What he'll do is he'll put the truth out there, and he'll allow the error to be put out there, and he'll watch you to see what you decide. I know fewer people believe in that every day, but that's the absolute truth from the Word of God. All right, now let's come back to where we started in 1 Samuel 28. Let's go to a seance. Friends, I'll tell you, there's nothing you'll ever come across in your life that is not scriptural. It's all in here. Every situation you can think of, you can find it in the Bible. If you want an education, just start in Genesis and read through all the way to Revelation. And when you finish, start again. You'll get an education. It'll be a liberal arts education, touching on all fields of learning. It'll be there. Now this thing works in two ways. In 1 Samuel 28, verse 7, the Bible says, "Then said Saul unto his servants, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit." And we talked about what that was. Saul, he's here seeking at the mouth of hell what he refused at the door of heaven. He wants revelation from God. He wants God to speak to him. Well, God sent his word to him through Samuel, and he would not listen. And now he's down here at the gate of hell trying to get the word of God, and that's not the place to get it. That's not where you receive it. Verse number 8. "And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went in. Verse 9. "And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done." All right, now think about that. Do you kind of find this significant? If this is a woman that supposedly has so much great spiritual power, how come she didn't know that was Saul, even though he was disguised? You know, if this woman is so all-fired brilliant about the unknown, well, how come a fella could just put on a little disguise and sneak in and she doesn't know who he is? Because they're fakers. She's a faker. Just like the Wizard of Oz, he was a faker. He said, "Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain." Well, I'll tell you something. There's more satanic influence in that old film than they've come out with since. You know, they're in that Wizard of Oz, they're all trying to get to the Emerald City. Did you ever read about those walls of jasper up there in heaven? It's something, isn't it? How did they get there? They had to go through a poppy field, and they just kind of tripped out on that white powder out there falling from the sky. Next thing they knew, they were up there in heaven, and when they got up there, they found out that the great, mighty Lord they'd been seeking turned out to be a fake. He was just a man like they were. That old fake wizard taught them, if you really want your own heart's desire, just look to yourself. It's in your own backyard. So that whole thing, it was just a slam on God and the Bible. And so if this woman here, she's got so much spiritual power, why doesn't she know that that's Saul that just walked in the room? Verse number 12. Well, in verse 11, Saul said, bring me up Samuel. But before she can even say, hocus pocus, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, e pluribus unum, it says, when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. Saul said, bring me up Samuel. Hey, she didn't bring up anybody. But there he was. Samuel showed up. Why did she cry with a loud voice? Because she's afraid. She's terrified. Because she's not the one that brought him up. She'd never seen such a thing. She didn't bring his spirit up. She didn't bring this man into her presence. God sent that man to rebuke Saul one last time. So she was scared out of her boots. And that's something. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? How's that for the pot calling the kettle black? Here's the deceiver getting mad at somebody for deceiving her. She had no power. She couldn't call up any spirit. And when one does show up, she gets mad at Saul and says, what did you get me into this mess for? This guy, he's not on my payroll. That's the wrong spirit. Amen. Verse 13. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? What did you see? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. All right, let's talk about these gods. Keep your place here, but go to 1 Corinthians 8. First Corinthians chapter 8. And then we'll also look at the book of Revelation, chapter 9. Now you pray for me today, because whenever a man preaches stuff like this, he's asking for trouble from those principalities and powers. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 4. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God, capital G, but one. For though there be that are called gods, small g, whether in heaven or in earth, okay, in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things. All right, listen, so any spiritual power or entity that is worshipped is a god. There are many gods. Some of them still operate in the realm of heaven. Some of them are in the earth, but there are many gods. See, the Lord just kind of showed up at this seance one night with Saul and let this woman see what she was really dealing with. And when she saw it, it scared her half to death. So, you know, a lot of these dear old women who are reading palms and all that kind of stuff, giving your future readings, they get all that junk out of a book. And they're just trying to make a little extra money so they can pay for a better cable channel on the TV. They don't have any idea what they're dealing with or how dangerous it is. All right, look at Revelation chapter 9. Let's take a look at the comic books that they're selling these days. Revelation 9:1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women. Well, nobody has to explain that. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. Listen, when you get to fooling around with these children's cartoons like He-Man and the Masters of the Universe and this Aquaman, Batman, and I don't know what they've got these days, but all that stuff. You know what you're dealing with? You're dealing with the gods of the earth that are going to be loosed in the tribulation time to destroy and to torment men. It's not comics. It's not mythology. It is not ancient pagan literature. It is factual reality disguised as something funny, something good, something entertaining. These half-man, half-beast, robotic, super-powered creatures that show up in your cartoons, and they're always good guys who come to save the earth. That is satanic brainwashing. That stuff does exist. Those creatures are present in this universe. They will manifest themselves in the earth in the future day. And you better thank God, if you're saved, that you won't be here. And if you're not saved, you better get saved, or you're going to meet these fellows face to face. And trust me, you don't want to. Listen, all this mythology is ancient history twisted. That's all it is. The Bible tells you in Genesis chapter 6, there were gods in the earth in those days. They were mighty men of old, men of renown. Their power and influence was so great that God had to destroy the entire human race to save one family, to rid the earth of the influence of those gods. So it's not a joke. I'll show you something else. Come to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Every now and then, God will show you something in the Bible that has either been forgotten for generations or just wasn't time for it to be revealed until now. I'll show you something that maybe you never saw before. This is Daniel's revelation of the kingdoms, the governments of this earth, down through time and through history. You've got the head of gold representing that Babylonian Empire, the silver representing the Medo-Persian Empire, then there's the brass representing the Greek, and the legs of iron there representing the Roman kingdom. And then you get down to that fifth and last kingdom that exists on earth when Jesus Christ returns to set up his kingdom. And watch what the Bible says about this thing. Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 42. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay. Clay, what are you made of? Clay. Part of iron and part of clay. So the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Exactly what happened in Genesis 6 that brought about the flood in Noah's day. It says, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Never mind the false newspapers and the tabloids. According to Daniel chapter 2, if you are living in the last days, and I believe we are, well, coming to power right now in places of prominence are supermen that are not wholly, completely human. I don't understand all that stuff, but that's what he said. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. The obvious implication from the grammar and from the language is that they are separate and distinct from human beings. Something that is not a man, something that is not a human being, is going to mingle, is going to mix with the seed of men. They are gods in the earth. In the latter days, there will be gods on the earth. You can mess around all you want with this occult stuff to try to tap into some kind of power, try to get a hold of something supernatural. But why don't you try and get a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word of God and stay away from that stuff that I've just shown you is going to hurt you. All right, let's come back to 1 Samuel 28. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 13. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. Okay, I'll tell you something else about this business. We learn from this story that Satan will even deceive his own servants. Wasn't she serving Satan? But she's deceived herself. He used this woman, but this woman, she's only seen as much as the devil wanted her to see. He didn't show her the whole picture. She was just a tool. She was just a dupe. She was just a pawn in his evil game. You talk to these young people today, they're starting to delve more and more into that occult stuff, saying things like, oh, I want to get in touch with the power. I want to get in on some power, some real power. Listen, if you do get in touch with it, the devil, he'll just use you. He won't show you his power. He won't let you get a hold of his might. He'll just drain you dry. He'll suck all the life he can out of you, and then he'll just throw you in the trash heap. And that's exactly what he does. This woman, she didn't have any idea what was going on in the spirit world. She just had one little spirit that she channeled so that she could make some money and dupe some people. But she had no idea what was behind it. Verse 14, "And he," Saul, "said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself." Now that's something. You know, men will reverence a man after he's dead, a man that they despised while he was living. You ought to read the books that were written between 1861 and 1865 in the northern United States. Those guys, you find out, they hated Abraham Lincoln. They hated his guts until he was martyred, and then he was a hero. Some of you lived between 1960 and 1963, and they couldn't wait for the 64 elections to get rid of John F. Kennedy. But once he was killed, he became a hero. You know, greatest president we ever had, all that stuff, you know. Well, if you read the history real carefully, they were just about through with Martin Luther King. He had pretty much run his course. Nobody cared about him. He was basically a mute topic until he was killed. And then he was a hero. You know, there's an old hillbilly song they used to sing. It says, "Bring me my flowers while I live." If you want to say something good about me, or tell me that I've done a good job somewhere, or give me a little praise, don't do it at my funeral. Do it now. Don't build a monument to the guy that you killed. Amen. They crucify somebody and then they put these nice flowery words on his tombstone. Greatest man we ever ran into the grave, that is. Here's old Saul. He wouldn't listen to the prophet Samuel even one time while he was living. But now after he's dead, he's going to bow down to him. Oh, great Samuel, my mentor, my leader. That's the way those things go. But look, there's no medium here. This woman's not a medium. Look at verse 15. "And Samuel said to the woman," no, to Saul. Samuel's not even going to fool with that woman. He's not even going to, let her know that he knows she's there. He speaks directly to Saul. Now it's interesting. Apparently, the woman, she couldn't hear what Samuel said. He spoke to Saul, but Saul never saw Samuel. He said to the woman, "What do you see? Who's there? What does he look like?" Well, Samuel told him in chapter 15, verses 26 to 28, says, "You'll not see my face again. You'll never see me again." Saul said, "What do you see? What do you see?" Because he didn't see anything. But he heard Samuel speak. He heard the word. He knew that word when he heard it. In verse 19, Samuel pronounces a death penalty on Saul. Samuel pronounces a death penalty on him. And Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 6, says that those that consult with them that have a familiar spirit are to be put to death. And the next day, Saul was dead on the battlefield, the very next day. All right, well, let's look a couple more verses and then we'll wrap this up. I want to give you this because I think this is interesting. The Bible says in verse 21, "And the woman came unto Saul and saw that he was sore troubled, and said unto him, Behold, thine handmaid hath obeyed thy voice, and I have put my life in my hand, and have hearkened unto thy words which thou spakest unto me. Now therefore, I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thine handmaid, and let me set a morsel of bread before thee, and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way. But he refused and said, I will not eat." Old Saul, he's upset. He's fallen flat on the ground, basically. And basically he's hopeless. There's nothing he can do, and he knows it. God is not going to help him. Well, how would you feel about that? he knows he's going to die. Well, you got two Sauls in your Bible, two Sauls, and both of them are smitten to the earth. Both were persecutors of God's anointed. Jesus said, "Why persecutest thou me?" to Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road. Both reached the end of their course of self-will. Both Sauls asked the same question, "What shall I do?" Both of them were smitten to the ground. One man was smitten by the judgment of God to arise no more. And one man was smitten by the glory of God to rise up and to become the great apostle Paul. Saul of Kish, he went away that night with great darkness on his soul. Saul of Tarsus, he went away that day physically blind, but with the great light of the glory of God having gone upon his soul. Well, what made the difference? What made the difference? Saul of Kish, King Saul, he had been warned over and over and over again of the evil of his ways. Saul of Tarsus, he could stand and say, honestly, I did it ignorantly in unbelief. All right, now, light that is rejected gets extinguished. God puts that light out. And that's the wonderful thing about a message like this today. Now you know. And this is the terrible thing about a message like this. Now you know. When Saul of Kish knew and ignored and fell under the judgment of God, when Saul of Tarsus knew, he responded, and he fell under the glory of God. So it's not what you know. Saul knew. It's how you respond to what you know. It's not what you learn in a Bible-believing church where the scriptures are taught. It's what you do with what you learn that makes all the difference. So if you got anything today, friends, I hope you understand this stuff, it's no joke. It's nothing you ought to be playing around with. If you go to the secular bookstores today, you'll notice there's a lot more books today than ever before about the supernatural. Well, they don't print those books if people aren't buying them. It's a phenomenon that's sweeping across this earth, and you better be aware of it. Know what the Bible says about it, and then stand on the truth of the Word of God. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Know the Bible. And you'll be able to spot those fakers, those deceivers, those unclean spirits. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the warnings that you've placed in your scriptures, showing us the results of ignoring your plain scriptural commandments and warnings. Help us, Lord, to take heed to what we read in your Bible, to give us understanding, Lord, as we read them. Help us to be able to spot the deceivers in our midst, those who may be trying to, who may be working for the devil and trying to get an inroad into our life and take us down. Lord, help us to be strong in the knowledge of your word and willing to do what you say, that we might be a help to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.